In a perfect world, every advisor out there has access to everything, and all they care about is saying, hey, let me identify what's going to put this person in the best situation. But that's just not the reality of the world we live in, you know? And there's countless examples of that, not just in finance, but in all areas of life.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Welcome in to the Retirement Cafe, another episode coming up your way. And today we're talking about fiduciary. You probably heard the term quite a bit around the financial world, but not everyone knows exactly what it means. So we want to first explain what it is, but also talk about whether or not you should be working with a fiduciary with your financial and retirement plan. So glad to have you on the show, Dan and Brent. How are you?
Great.
Doing real well.
Yeah, great to talk to you both again. Hope everything's good over at Avery Wealth.
Things are great.
Very busy. Yeah. Sun shining, you know. Right. We had a
beautiful fall day today.
We had a week's worth of rain. Yeah, so I think everybody's ready for the sunshine.
I mean, it was at least a week.
it was a lot of rain.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys enjoy the fall weather before it turns too cold up there, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Fall in Michigan is absolutely gorgeous.
It
really is. And the college football, like all the festivities, it's a great time to be in Michigan for sure.
Great time indeed, and we look forward to hearing how the rest of the year goes. I know the Big Ten's been pretty interesting to kind of follow this year, and should be a pretty good close of the football season. But I know I've been most excited about just seeing the fans back, like watching that Penn State game a couple weeks ago where they had the whiteout. I mean, just seeing the atmospheres again is pretty cool.
Yeah, we went up to a game, my daughter and I, a couple weeks ago, and it was just walking around, like it was like everybody had a permigrin.
Yeah.
Being
seeing
outside.
All the people, and everybody's excited to be there.
It's
fantastic.
Wonderful. Well, we're excited that you're here with us today on the Retirement Cafe. Again, Dan Reese and Brent Oliver are certified financial planners at Avery Wealth. You can find them online at averywealth.com. Today, we're talking about whether or not you should be working with the fiduciary, and it's one of the buzzwords around the financial planning and investment management world is fiduciary. Do you know exactly what it means? I don't think everybody does, even though you hear about it quite a bit. So let's talk about whether or not a fiduciary can meet your needs and whether or not it's necessary to meet your needs financially. So let's just kind of start off. Why did you guys settle on this topic for the podcast this week?
Well, one of the things we do when we look at topics to talk about is what are people asking us?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and this is such a common question, whether it's the first time that we happen to talk to somebody or the first time that we meet them in person. Usually, I mean, if you look up what should you ask your financial advisor, a lot of the questions online would say ask them if they're a fiduciary. And so it's just a big it's a topic that's really important, I think, to a lot of the people that we work with or the people that are considering working with us.
Yeah, and I think further, even, you know, and we're going to talk about what it is and all these types of things, but like a lot of people, you know, they don't even understand, well, is that a good thing or is that, you know, how does that really help me or, you know, those types of things. So I think just taking an episode to get into the nitty-gritty of what a fiduciary is, you know, maybe some examples of that, things of that nature can really help people understand it better. Because it's like, I think it was a couple of years ago, they were talking about making everybody a fiduciary that works in this industry. That didn't happen. And probably good that it didn't happen because, you know, just because they say everybody's a fiduciary, you got to walk the walk, right?
Yeah, and that would just probably lump everybody that wasn't acting in the same fashion into the same category, right? And so it's nice that there's a differentiator now.
Yeah. I think that's the thing is understanding it, because it's funny, like as we talk about this, it's really a difficult thing to do a really good job as a fiduciary because we're human beings. And we're going to talk about best interest, putting clients' interests first, all those types of things. But it isn't easy. It takes work. It takes, you know, determination as an advisor that, hey, block out, you know, your own needs, which is hard for a human being to do.
Right.
And give great advice that's really putting them in the best position. So it'll be good.
Well, I'm excited about it. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on a fiduciary and learning more about it. I'm familiar with what it is, but I am kind of curious to learn more about why you work with one versus another and some of the benefits and pros and cons, that sort of thing. But and I know other people, since they've been asking you quite a bit, will probably find this to be pretty valuable topic of conversation today. So let's start off with, just explain exactly what a fiduciary is.
I like, and so one of the things that we did is we just looked up, you know, if you Google fiduciary, what comes up? And I'm going to read this, which is kind of a mouthful, and then we're going to kind of break it down a little bit. But this is the term that popped up that I thought was pretty good. It says a fiduciary is a person or organization that acts on behalf of another person or persons, putting their client's interests ahead of their own, with a duty to preserve good faith and trust. Being a fiduciary thus requires being bound both legally and ethically to act in the other's best interests. So that's kind of a mouthful.
Yeah, it is a mouthful, but there's a lot of good pieces in there.
Yeah.
Kind of to break down. So I'm kind of skipping ahead a little bit here, but you know, putting a person's interest ahead of your own is kind of the focal point of all of that in my mind, is just making sure that you're doing something that's, you know, you're helping make decisions for someone or giving advice, and that you're putting them first.
Yeah, that's a great thing. And I think a lot about like a fiduciary, like, to be honest, anybody can put someone's interests first, right? But I think a big part of this, which we're going to dig into, is like professional knowledge or you know, what I want to say, like ability or
judgment.
Yeah,
just using your professional judgment.
Right. So like to do a really good job, you need to have some knowledge around that area, right?
Yeah.
So like you'd expect, like, I'm obviously not a doctor. Like if you had a severe, like a heart issue and you asked me, well, I think you should do this. Well, I could tell you that.
Yeah.
But do I really know much about your heart or how to fix it or what might be wrong with it? You know, so when you really get into being a fiduciary in this context, being working for someone or doing, you know, putting their interests first, but also it's really important that you know what you're doing.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so you can give good advice and you can point them in the right direction. So I think that's really important.
And that's where that good faith and trust part comes in, right? It's so both of those they're really tied to what you're speaking about.
Right. I think that good faith, right? That's a great part of that term. That's exactly right. That you number one have the knowledge and you're kind of saying, hey, if I was in your situation based on my professional knowledge, this is the action that I would take, right? I think the other thing, bound legally and ethically, is kind of an interesting part of that. Because you really are, like if you, like Brent and I are both certified financial planners, we're fiduciaries under that professional designation. So legally, we need to do that, right?
Right.
And I think that's really important. But the second part of it, ethically, because there's a lot of things in life, you know, that gets into that fine line.
Yeah.
Where you're like, well, legally, I didn't do anything wrong.
Right. But you step past the gray line, right?
Yeah.
You made the line blurry.
Yeah.
And that's where ethics come in.
Yeah. And that's a huge part, in my opinion, because you could say, you know, you could like put somebody on the stand. I always think of it that way. Like if somebody was testifying in court and you've seen it a million times, well, I didn't break any laws. Right.
Right.
But everybody on the jury sitting there. Yeah. But that was kind of a crappy thing to do.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And that's kind of where I think of that, is that the ethics and the legal part of it is that not only are you legally bound, but you're using, you know, good ethics, and you're saying, hey, you know, whether this is legal or illegal, you know, I want to make sure I'm giving you the best advice because it's the right thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see it.
So then why would an advisor choose not to work under that fiduciary standard? Because it seems to me like that's a no-brainer to build, number one, just establish trust and credibility with your client. So why would you choose not to?
I think that is a great question. I don't think usually advisors necessarily choose not to, right?
No,
it's more their environment.
Yeah, it's where you work a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
If your company has their own products that you're selling in that case, because then you are going to recommend those, right? The client isn't really your main interest. It's the employer, right? You're trying to satisfy your arrangement for employment.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to think of it. Actually, it's like, are you working for a company or are you working for the client, right?
Right.
And so many times you're right. Like, oh, I work for, you know, XYZ brokerage company. Maybe they have their own products to sell.
Right.
And maybe there's other products that maybe would be a better fit for the client.
But you don't have access to
them. You don't have access to them. So you really, it's very difficult to work as a fiduciary in that case, because you're just saying, well, I know this may not be, you know, because I know professionally, again, I'm educated in this area. I know there's other things that exist that might be a better fit for this client, but I don't have it. So we're not going there.
Right.
right? And so it's not necessarily they wouldn't want to act as a fiduciary. It's just that in their environment, they can't. And I think it happens a lot. One of the things I always think about is buying a car. This is my favorite example of this, because like, if you go to the Ford dealership and you're looking for a car, and let's say that that salesperson knows, boy, what they're describing, the Chevy dealer down the street has exactly that car. Are they going to send you down the street to the Chevy dealer?
Of course they will. I don't think so. No, absolutely not. They're going to try to fit you into something that's close to what you're looking for, right? Maybe not the best thing for you, but it'll work,
right? Yeah, and I'm glad you said that. It'll work, because that's what happens oftentimes, is that in a perfect world, every advisor out there has access to everything. And all they care about is saying, hey, let me identify what's going to put this person in the best situation. But that's just not the reality of the world we live in, you know? And there's countless examples of that, not just in finance, but in all areas of life, you know? Like once upon a time, I was, you know, a State Farm insurance agent. Well, that's what I had, right? Yeah. I didn't have, you know, AAA. I didn't have auto owners. I didn't have access to all these other things. So like, to me, that's what I could sell them, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the thing is, most people, it does make sense that every advisor should want to put the client first. But when you get into some of these fiduciary duties, some people are just in an employment situation where it makes it very difficult to be able to do that, right?
Right. Another way that may impact this is just how somebody gets paid as a financial advisor, right? So the way that their compensation is structured would force them to... they wouldn't be able to be a fiduciary.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of issues. So some countries, I think Great Britain might have done this, Australia, where they basically outlawed commissions. Commissions put people in a very difficult situation, advisors. And just to kind of be clear, commission is you put money into an investment product and the salesperson gets a commission up front. Maybe it's 5% of it or 6% or whatever that amount is, right? And so, like, they get paid as soon as that money goes in. And that causes a lot of other issues we're going to talk about later on, like when you need to make changes.
Yes.
You know, and there's other commissions and things like that. So that's another great example of that. They can put you in a tough situation if you're acting as a fiduciary. Now, it's not impossible to act as a fiduciary by using commission products. You still can. It's just it's more difficult, right?
Think about that. We brought the human element into it a little bit earlier. I mean, just put yourself in that position where you're looking at a couple of different things that you could offer to somebody and one paid you significantly more than the other.
Yeah.
You can see how that gray area how things could get really blurry there, right? Yeah. Because you can kind of still serve the client's interest, but your interest would be really served if you did, you know, option A versus option B would probably be better for them, but not as good for you.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it very difficult. It's a place I wouldn't want to be.
Right. Honestly. It makes it really hard because it's easy to justify, you know, human nature again, every day. Like we have this desire to be safe and secure, which means, hey, if I can get paid more doing this, I could probably kind of justify that's just as good.
Right.
Right. When if you had a true, group
if they
were
of people.
Equal. Yeah, exactly. If you had other people looking at you, be like, that's not as good. Yes. That costs more, doesn't offer anything extra.
Right.
Right. So it's really interesting.
That is really interesting. And I think anybody that's kind of listening so far and following along can probably see some of the clear benefits to working with a fiduciary. But let's kind of get a little more specific and actually kind of list some of those examples of why there is substantial benefits for working with a fiduciary.
Yeah, and this is a great area to discuss because, you know, Brent and I deal with this every day. There's so many choices you have to make with money, every family.
Right.
Right. And so if the overriding theme is not just on one transaction isolated, but your overall scope of services are everything working together to put the client in the best position to have long-term success, right?
Right. And that is what being a fiduciary means, at least in my mind, is just that, hey, I have to know not just this one little thing. I have to know everything about you and what we're trying to achieve to help you achieve the things that are most important to you, right? And help you select whether it's a mutual fund or exchange-traded fund or whatever we're working with.
Yeah.
And help you do that.
Yeah, because the thing is, here's the reality about financial planning, investment management. Pretty much everyone has limited resources, right? You have to make choices. It's a give and take, right? So like a simple example, we're going to walk through some of these. I always think of life insurance, right? So if you were in a bubble and all you were looking at was somebody's life insurance only, not their investment savings, nothing else, you know, you might say, oh, whole life would be great for you, right?
Right.
But if you looked at everything else and realized, oh, wait, they're not funding their retirement account, they're not doing this and that, really, they should be buying term insurance, right? Because it's lower cost. They need to do these other things. And if they have extra money, maybe whole life would be a good option for them after that, right? But if you were just looking at insurance, you're like, oh, you have a savings element, you know, there's this and this and that, you might be able to argue, oh, this is better for them, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's why, and we talk about like our discovery process all the time on here, and that's why it's so critical that we go through and learn about each and every piece of your financial life,
mm-hmm.
and you know the other things that are most important to you, so that we can help you make these types of decisions.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So let's just we're going to kind of walk through a little bit of a list of things where a fiduciary can really create substantial benefits for clients. And first and foremost, like we've already talked a little bit about, is product selection, right? Like everybody's got to make choices on, you know, how they save their money, how they invest their money, insurance, all these different things, right?
Right.
So like understanding how do you balance all that out and really allocate your resources in the best way across all those things.
Right, right. So different types of accounts, what have you,
mm-hmm.
right? And then inside of there, like what are you going to hold? What investment selections are you going to be using is a big piece of this as well.
Yeah. So like as an example, and I think this is really a good one, you know, the SEC goes in and audits like registered investment advisors is what, and that's the format we work under at Avery Wealth. So one of the things they look at is like when clients transfer in funds, when that money hit your management, did you go through, right, and look at all the different funds? Did you verify that, hey, maybe you're not to the point where you're going to change out funds yet or do something different, but did you make sure they were getting the best deal on all those funds, right?
Right, because different funds, right, could be trying to do the same thing, but some can be a lot more expensive, mm-hmm. right, than another one. And it's just a share class is all you're changing, right?
Right.
You're not changing who it's with.
Right.
You're just changing that fund class.
Yeah, and that's a great example of simple thing where you, when you're working with fiduciary, they're going to make sure, they should be making sure that everything you do is in your best interest. You're getting the best deal. And to the point that the SEC audits advisors on that, are they doing that or not, right? One of the things I think is a really good one is how do people, and this is where a fiduciary can pay huge, huge dividends long term, the reactions and advice when there's market turbulence.
Yes.
It's a huge, huge area, right?
Right, because, you know, this is talking about, you know, staying the course. We have a long-term structured discipline portfolio versus, and you talked a little bit about this earlier, alluded to it, is, okay, well, if this isn't working and somebody's on maybe collecting a commission and they want to trade out of something that hasn't worked quite well enough and go into another product that has another commission.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's like churning in a sense, right?
Yes.
And here's the thing is that people lean on their advisors when times are tough. And so it's an easy time for someone to go, oh, you know what, it is really looking bad.
Yes.
We should go into the safer stuff. And then, oh, no, now it's looking good. We should go into the other. And most everybody knows, there's been plenty of research, market timing does not work.
Right.
So, like, first of all, that's a bad thing. And so if you are a qualified professional and a fiduciary, you'd be like, listen, we know we need to stay the course, right?
Right.
And so that problem when you're not with a fiduciary and maybe there's a financial reward for making changes, that can really be a detrimental action long term for your, you know, success of your plan.
You know, another one too that is on here on the list is, you know, when to choose to take your Social Security.
Oh, yes.
And this is just if you really think about it, so delaying your Social Security a lot of time, not always, but a lot of times is really beneficial to a family, right? If they're able to use some of the money that they've saved, because there's some guaranteed return or growth for your benefit.
Yeah.
Right. But that's using up some of the money, right? It's using up some of your own money.
Yeah.
And so there can be a conflict there with an advisor, because if you're using the money that they're no longer investing, right, and collecting a fee on, that could impact a decision.
Yeah.
Right? So you want to make sure that you're getting good advice in that area, and that working with fiduciary is going to help you really make sure that you're making a good decision in that area.
Yeah. I think what's interesting is technology's gotten so good. we basically can model a plan and we can tell you, hey, if you take Social Security at these different years, this is how it's going to affect your plan positively or negatively, right? So it's pretty clear. And you can show like, hey, this is a better option for you to take it like at 67 as an example, right? Doesn't mean you have to. I mean, it's ultimately your money. You have to make those choices. But like Brent was saying is that there's a give and take to everything. If you push that off, that means you're probably going to have to take more money out of your investments to cover your expenses during that period of time. Now, a fiduciary is going to go through and say, hey, this looks like it's the best choice for you, right? But, you know, if somebody's getting paid other ways, they might not want to see you take money out of that investment portfolio,
right?
And be like, well, that's going to affect them. And they might say, oh, you're crazy not to take your Social Security at 62, right? Which, you know, again, fiduciaries can't just throw out comments like that. It needs to be research-based. Recommendations need to be research-based.
And that's where that the modeling it becomes so important is looking at that scenario and saying, if, you know, option A is going to give you, we talk about it in a score, and we've talked about that on the show before, gives you this score. Option B, the score is higher. Like this is a better way of going about doing this in order to help you achieve the things that are most important to you.
Yeah, and I think it goes into, just to kind of wrap this part up, but there's tons and tons of examples. We could talk all day about them. But even like retirement choices. Yeah. Like, hey, I'm ready to retire, where, you know, you got a money in your 401k and retirement means that money might go to an advisor. Like, they might tell you, oh yeah, it looks good. Right. So they can get that money into their management, where, you know, a fiduciary should be going through running all the numbers. Like Brent was just talking about, what's your plan score based on retirement now? Do things look okay? Right? Are you going
to
be okay?
Can you really afford to do this? Is it a sustainable plan? All of those things.
Yeah. So it really is. The examples continue to be about the same thing. Giving you sound advice, truly sound advice, without thinking of the advisor first, putting you first as a client, you know, like it, almost thinking like, what would my brother or parents or, you know, somebody that you truly 100% trust tell me to do? And it's kind of that type of format under the fiduciary standard that you should be in if your advisor is doing a good job. Goes into tax planning, income planning, there's all kinds of areas. But the real key to remember is basically there's a financial incentive for someone to give you different advice, right? And they're kind of getting an advantage based on the advice they're giving versus you. That's where the trouble comes in, right? And a fiduciary should be doing the exact opposite.
Right.
Where your long-term success is what really is the driver.
Yeah, that key to remember is important. And then you look at all the lists of things you went through, and it's like, wow, there's a lot of things that can attach to with your planning and why it's so important. So, I mean, how would I even know, though, if I'm working with a fiduciary? I mean, what's the identifier there?
I think the first thing that you should do is just ask them. You always should ask, are you working under the fiduciary standard? I mean, I think it's a question that should be asked.
Yeah, and the suitability standard's kind of the other one. Right. So just a way to keep those separated out. Fiduciaries, again, your interest first. Suitability is really about, it's a suitable product. Not that it's necessarily the best for you or that it fits in with your overall needs based on everything we know. So it's substantially different. That's almost like taking a little piece, like we were talking about, versus taking your whole situation. And so that's really key. If they're a certified financial planner or a registered investment advisor, generally they're going to be working under the fiduciary standard. Like Brent said, you should still ask them though, right? Still want to make sure.
Yeah, for sure. And then you want to understand the products that they're using and if they're proprietary to the firm that they're employed by, right? So if that firm is, if they're trying to sell certain products of their own.
Yeah. And that doesn't necessarily mean bad. It's just like to understand. It's very difficult to act in a fiduciary standard if you're limited on your product selection, on what you can use and how you go about building out portfolios and things. One of the things, too, is how do you get paid? That's a really good question to ask. Like, typically, not all, but typically fiduciaries or people working under that standard are under a fee basis, meaning that it doesn't really matter, you know, what products are in your portfolio or you know, like how often trades are made. They're generally getting paid on a fee that's not, it doesn't differ based on those factors.
Right, where someone else could, you know, product A is going to give me a 5% commission and product B is going to give me a 7% commission.
Right.
Those are those are two different, the way that Dan outlined it or the other way would be two different ways in which advisors could be paid. And so you want to understand that when you're working with somebody.
Yeah, like how they get paid is really important, because the thing is that the ideal situation is if you're working with a fiduciary, I believe, but everybody makes their own choices. But secondly, you don't ever really want to feel like choices that are being made around your investments or things like that are being done outside of your best interest, right?
Right.
So like, you know, you don't want to feel like, oh, I see a lot of trading going on. I know my advisor gets paid when there's trades. Are they really doing that in my best interest?
Yeah.
So that's important.
Okay. So if you do know that you are working under the with an advisor under the fiduciary standard, does that just guarantee you more confidence in your planning?
I think it depends, right? Yeah. It doesn't necessarily guarantee it. There's good advisors out there that are not under the fiduciary standard.
Absolutely. You know? I mean, you can do this without working under that standard. I just feel like this, you know, the framework around it, and the legally and liable part adds incentive there, certainly.
Yeah. And I think like talking to clients through the years, like I feel like over time, they gain a lot more confidence and peace of mind around what they're doing because they understand that we are putting their interests first. So things like reviewing, you know, we do deep dives into all the funds and different things we use for investments, you know, every year or two. And when you do that, like, and the reason we do that is for them. Like, right. We're making sure, are there better alternatives? Can we improve this, right? We don't get paid anything extra to do that, right? That's our responsibility to them as a fiduciary. So like, as clients see those types of activities going on, knowing that if you're making trades, it's not because you're getting paid to make trades. You're doing it because, you know, it's the right thing, maybe rebalancing or maybe switching some investment outs where it's investments that there's better alternatives on, but it's for them.
Right.
It's not just like...
It doesn't change any way that a fiduciary would be compensated or the way that we would be compensated.
Right. Yeah, it's like I kind of think if you're sitting on the same side of the table as a client.
Yeah.
Like it's the same thing you're doing with your own money.
Yeah.
Like you're not, you know what I mean?
There's no conflict of interest there, right? There's no reason not to do those things. That should be done. You should be looking at those, making sure that there aren't better alternatives or better ways to go about it.
And the other thing too, I think is people realize, like, and especially if you're working with fiduciary and they're showing you, let's go back to Social Security. They're showing you, hey, Joe, Susan, listen, if you go this route with your choice, it gives you a better likelihood of a good outcome, right?
Right.
So, you know, people like to know that they're just being given truly good information. Doesn't mean they have to follow it, right? But it's like, hey, they're giving me advice based on proven things that show this is likely going to put me in a better spot. And that, I think, it's like any relationship. You know what I mean? Like the longer you're with someone or you get to know them and you know that they're trustworthy, it builds confidence.
Right.
Right. So yeah. I think that's the key.
One thing I've always wondered is how is the fiduciary standard audited? Like, I mean, what's keeping an advisor from saying, oh yeah, I work under the fiduciary standard and then just, you know, disregarding that altogether?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question because that's why it's like anything in life. Not everybody follows the rules, right?
Mm-hmm. That's true, unfortunately. You know? Yeah,
and that's what we were mentioning earlier. Like if everybody was just called a fiduciary, it would mean nothing.
Right.
Because that's just not the world we live in. Not everybody follows the law. And so like that's why it's really important when you start talking about these things that actions speak louder than words. I mentioned earlier, you got to walk the walk.
Right.
Like it pays big time because it creates, you know, clients want to stay with you because they know you're doing what's best for them. And, you know, and it takes time. And, it, you know, what's that saying about trust? It takes years to build it and it can take seconds to destroy it.
Yep.
Right. And I think that again, goes back to the whole discovery process and making sure that when you are making decisions, that you're looking at how that impacts the rest of your plan, mm-hmm. whatever that is, when to retire, when to take Social Security, what's that going to do to, you know, the success of your plan? Mm-hmm. What's it going to do to your taxes? What's it going to do to all these different things? That's all wrapped up in it. You can't make a decision on one thing without impacting a lot of other things. And if you don't know all those other things, it's very difficult to act as a fiduciary.
Yeah. One thing I will mention, and I think it's been huge, is technology has made it, this is going to sound funny, but a little bit easier to be a fiduciary Because in the old days, you're trying to crunch all this stuff on spreadsheets and you're doing your best. But the truth of the matter is money's complicated.
Yes.
And like every action's going to have an effect on other things. And so to try to incorporate all that stuff is challenging, right? But now with how good software and technology's become, you can map this stuff out pretty effectively and say, hey, if you go down this road, this is likely the outcome. If you go down this road this way, right?
Yes.
And so I think that's awesome because it really gives, even as an advisor, I personally feel way better because I'm like looking at it and saying, hey, I'm very confident, you know, based on all the numbers and the information we have that, you know, this looks like a really solid choice for you to make.
Right, because you can put a probability or a number on that to help, you know, support that with them, but also support it with what you thought was the case.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, this has been all great information, and I think it gives everyone a much deeper understanding of the term fiduciary and what that actually means. So let's close out this episode, as we always do, kind of summarizing the conversation today, and also maybe a tip or two for people that are trying to pick an advisor right now.
Yeah, I think the first thing really is selecting someone to work with is a huge decision. You need to take your time. You need to ask these questions, understanding how they get paid, understanding, you know, how they make help you make good choices, right? Don't hurry through it. Talk to people.
Right,
right, Brent?
Yeah, absolutely. And you shouldn't just work with somebody just because they're a fiduciary.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's not what we're getting at here. There's a lot of different pieces that should go into that decision.
Yeah. Yeah. A fiduciary on its own, you got to walk the walk. I said it earlier. And if you have a chance to talk to people that have worked with an advisor that does a good job under the fiduciary standard, I think you'll get all the, you know, positivity you'd need to know they're doing a good job because they'll tell you these things. The thing is, like, if you're working with fiduciary and they're fulfilling their duties, it's going to be great for you. You're going to learn and see and experience it. That's a big message point that I like to get people to. And in today's world, you know, we're so cynical of what's in it for them.
Yes.
That saying, right? Yeah. And it's hard because, you know, everybody is concerned with themselves and being okay, right? So that is a big concern to have. But if you can get that good relationship with a fiduciary where you get over that, I mean, it can be absolutely priceless. And having that person on the same side of the table as you over the years really is going to, I think, improve your overall standard and quality of life when it comes to money.
Well, guys, as always, really good information. I appreciate you taking us through this. I think another valuable episode of the Retirement Cafe. And if you like what you've heard today, and if you made it this far, please go ahead and just subscribe to the show. We'd appreciate that. You can find us on any podcasting app, all the big ones, Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen, you'll find the Retirement Cafe. We definitely appreciate that. But if you want to go find all the episodes online, along with everything else that Dan and Brent offer over at Avery Wealth, you can find them at averywealth.com. Dan and Brent, thanks again as always. Look forward to talking to you next episode.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Avery Wealth, Inc. is a registered investment advisory firm.